Mic check 1 2 1 2. Welcome to another episode of the Self Thinkers Podcast. This is part two from last week. You might have noticed we have the same clothes. It's still the same day. This is part two of our topic of last week. We wanted to divide it into two parts, so we didn't give too much information to people and lose their attention. We don't need introductions. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
This is Carol. If you didn't watch the last episode, this is Carol. I'm Ed. Welcome to Self Thinkers Podcast. If this is your first time watching a video or listening to us, please, before you watch this one, go and watch the other one, because it will make more sense. This is a part two of last week's topic. So watch that one beforehand. Or if you just want to watch this before, then it's up to you, mate. It is what it is.
What can I say?
What can I say? We've talked about some interesting facts last week. Mm-hmm. Well, not last week, last episode, about index funds, REITs, where to start, why we should save, stuff like that. Now I want to talk about things that as well that we as a, well, the young people, we only learn after we leave school and when shit gets real. And what I wanted to talk about is credit score. And that's something that really, 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 really means a lot for me, because I only learned that after university, and how much weight he actually has on
same as me
your adult life.
Yeah.
So for everyone that doesn't know, how much weight does he actually take to have a good hold to have a, on your adult life, to have a good credit score? How important is it?
I mean, if you ever thinking about buying a house, then yes, it's a lot. I mean, I say a house because I think that's a big investment. You need a good score for other things, even a car or anything. But a house particularly, you wait so much on the mortgage that you get and how much you get from the bank. It depends. It really depends on having a good score. So if you don't have a big score on it, you might be able to get less on a mortgage, or the interest rate might actually be higher on it. So yeah, so it's really important of that.
If you guys don't know what credit score is, it's basically a number that tells the companies and everything how likely are you to pay back when you borrow from them. So basically, when you do a contract and you borrow from, you have a lender that gives you £1,000, how likely are you to pay that money back?
Yeah.
Basically, that's what a credit score is. Because when a company is now giving you a current contract, they want to make sure you're going to give their money back with interest.
Exactly.
So that's basically what credit score is. When I left university, well, before I left university, I actually, before when I used to work in a part-time job, that's when I learned about credit score, because I used to do credit checks all the time. And then I started learning about credit score. I didn't have an existing credit score.
Okay.
I hadn't started my credit score because I had nothing in my name yet. Yeah. And a non-existing credit score is the same as a bad credit score.
Yeah.
They won't accept you anyway.
So yeah, imagine if you wanted to buy a house at that point.
If you have no history.
It would be difficult.
You need history. So for everyone that doesn't know, your credit score, you should download an app called ClearScore or Experian, and you should see where you're at the moment. If you're on a good average, and it tells you how you could improve. Having a credit card is something you're talking about it as well.
I've got a credit card now.
Yeah,
not that long ago, but I got one because I want to improve my credit score. So one day, whenever I want to buy a house or a car. It's easier for me. So
people are very scared of credit cards because they say, you know, it's not your money or the interests and everything. Put it into perspective. Whatever let's say you get a credit card. So when the first time I got a credit card from Barclays, they gave me I think it was a £150 limit on it. Okay. So you use whatever you're going to spend your money on with your debit card. Let's say when you fill up, when you go shopping, you use your credit card for it, and then you just pay it all off every month.
Yeah.
Try, try not to use more than 25%.
Exactly. That's the rule. That's the rule. And I think the key about having a credit card and not being so scared of using it is actually setting the direct debit for the full amount. Because they are smart. Obviously, credit card companies don't want you to pay the full amount. Okay. Because
interest.
Exactly. They want you to pay interest.
That's how they make money.
And that's why they give you two options when you set up a direct debit. Mm-hmm. They ask you whether you want to pay
a minimum payment.
Minimum payment or the full amount every month.
Or just a little set payment, like 50 quid.
Yeah, exactly. So always put the full amount.
Because
otherwise you're just going to be starting to accumulate debt and you credit, don't want that.
A credit card is good to use for something that sometimes maybe you don't have the money for. But using it unresponsibly for something that you cannot afford, that's how you create debt that you're going to be paying for months and months and months and months.
Yeah, and then instead of actually being like improving your credit score, you're actually putting it down and you're ruining it.
Because you use more than 20, you use about 90% of your credit, of your credit card, and you won't be able to pay it off in probably a year or something. Mm-hmm. And it's not good.
Because always set up
the while you pay it, it keeps growing because there's interest fees every single month, and that's how they make money.
And the interest fees, they compound. So basically it becomes, so if you're owing 100 this month, but then you have a fee, so imagine they add, I don't know, £10 to it, and then the 3.5% fee will be on 110 next month. So it accumulates and it becomes such a big amount of money to pay.
Put it in perspective, if you get a credit card and you use your £4,500 limit on it, and that's a compounding, or there's an interest on a monthly interest of about 2%, and now you're paying about £200 every month because that's all you can afford to pay. You pay about £200 every month, and they take, just on interest every month, they take about 150. So realistically, of your £200, you're actually paying £50 a month. Exactly. So you do the math of how long you'll take to pay that 4,500.
A long time. And that's what they want. They want you to keep you talking. Well, they want you to keep on paying forever, basically. Never stop.
That's how they create debt, and they keep you on the roll. So if you get a credit card, please be responsible. Don't use more than 25% on it. And don't use your credit card to pay something that you don't already have the money for.
And be aware of, like, there are different types of credit cards. So go for the ones that are actually interest-free for whatever, how long it is. So I know that, for instance, mine, it's interest-free. And you only start paying interest after, I don't know how many months. Mm-hmm. So don't go for those credit cards that you literally start paying interest right away, or like pretty much right away. Yeah.
There's always some fees, some hidden fees in that. Read the small letters.
Yeah, the small letters are very important.
Read the small letters. But yeah, I think that's probably the number one thing, having a credit card, using responsibly, how you use your credit utilization. That's the form. Yeah. 25, keep it at 25% and pay it all off every month. That will increase your credit score. Other thing that will increase your improve your credit score is having utility bills on your name.
Yes.
Well, that's something that you might not have control in until you become an adult, because you won't have, you know,
I think the easiest one for you to have, and it's not really utility, but like, for instance, your mobile phone contract, that improves your credit score.
Not missing payments.
Yeah, and not missing payments on those.
Be responsible.
Exactly. Be responsible.
A missed payment on it, it takes about 3-6 months to clear out from your credit score.
That is a long time.
Yeah, like 3 months, a missed payment, because missing pay, a company does not want you to miss payment.
No, it's not good. No, it just shows you're unreliable if you don't pay it off every month, and they don't want that.
Credit score is all about reliability.
Exactly.
Is what they want to know.
They want to know that they can trust you. Yeah. So.
Exactly. If a friend comes to you and asks for £1,000, but he has no history, you have no idea that he's going to give you the money back. You're not going to give it. But if you've already borrowed them before, he's borrowed from someone else before, and you know that he always pays back, he never misses a payment, that's how you borrow. That's why you would borrow that money. And that's what credit score is.
Yeah.
Credit cards. We talk about utility bills. Mm-hmm. Something else as well.
The voting.
Registered to voting. Mm-hmm. That really surprised me.
that is on purpose. It's just to make you register for voting, really.
Registering for voting improves your credit score, believe it or not. I don't know if being registered to vote makes you more reliable or not, but it has an effect on your credit score.
Yeah.
You won't be able to have a perfect credit score. It's hard to have a perfect. If you don't register to vote, you will never reach the maximum potential of it.
Yeah.
And then not having debt. If you have a lot of debt, if you can't borrow more, you can't get a house if you already have a massive amount of debt, because it seems like you are unreliable. You're buying stuff that you cannot afford.
Exactly. You have to remember that the purpose of having a credit score, credit card, is to improve your credit score. So don't go and just buy it all and then actually ruin it.
It can be very tempting having that money in there and just being able to spend it, and I'll just pay it later. And then it can grow. So be very careful with that. We talked about credit score. Something else that I wanted to talk.
What is it?
I've been here for like 2 hours. Passive income and active income.
Okay. Do you want me to start already?
So passive income and active income.
Mm-hmm.
Explain the difference in between both.
Okay. So basically, to put it simply, active income is income that you're getting from being active on certain things. So, for instance, your income from your job, that's mm-hmm. active income, because you're there every day working to earn that money. Whereas passive income is where you don't have an active part on it. So, for instance, rent income. So imagine you have a house and you're renting it to someone else. That rent income that you're receiving is passive income.
So like making money without taking any action.
Yeah. Or even if you're like, if you have like a partnership that you're not in a business, that mm-hmm. you're not actually actively
getting dividends.
That is considered passive income as well. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, that's the difference between them.
Yeah. So basically the reason I touched this subject is, if you don't know, only one stream of income is like having zero streams of income. And the reason why is, what if you lose that job?
Yes.
What's going to happen?
I mean, 2020, COVID.
Shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
So I don't care how much money you're getting paid. If you're living comfortably, you're saving. But what if you lose that one stream of income? So that's why we should always try. I know I'm trying. It takes time to build passive income. It's not something that's going to happen in a day. So we're always working. We're trying to work and create that passive income stream. But there's a book, and so many people say you should have at least 7 streams of income. So if you lose
a lot.
It's a lot. It is a lot.
Think about it.
It is a lot. Because if you lose some, you have something to fall back on. Because it's true. Like, I mean, imagine you have a family, and obviously you have your job, which seems very secure, but you mess up and you're sacked, or a company gets bankrupt. So what?
Yeah, no. You never know what happens. So
yeah,
you can lose the job easily.
Yeah.
So you have to have other streams of income. I've always heard that you should, by your 30s,
mm-hmm.
be making as much money outside of your job as you're making on the job.
Yeah.
So you can only achieve that by having loads of different
streams of income. Investing as well, make money work for you.
Yeah.
And there's other things that you can, like other kind of jobs, or creating businesses and everything. You can make money while you sleep.
Yeah.
Make money while you sleep.
For instance, a podcast is a stream of income.
Trust me. That's what I'm saying. I'm working. It takes some time.
But we're
out here working. We'll get there. So that's the main difference between active and passive income. We should always try and get a few streams of passive income.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, there's only 24 hours in a day. Yeah. You can only be as active as you can. If you could, work 24 hours in a day at 20. But you need to sleep. You need to rest.
You need to have a life. working to just survive, it's not
check by check.
I don't want that. I don't think anyone wants that. So
you get a little bit panicky.
Yeah. I would. So
yeah, it is something that it's really not, it's not a peaceful life. That's why we call this financial freedom, and try and get that peace of mind.
Exactly.
And having that money work for you and make money while you sleep. You know what? I'm sounding like one of them crypto investors that put £10 into Bitcoin and be like, bro, what are you doing working? I'm out here making moves. While you sleep, I make money. I made 23 pence last night.
Yeah, you feel like a true investor straight away.
Yeah, when you make £10, when you get those returns, trust me, even if it's a few pence, when you get those returns, you feel good.
It feels really nice.
I made money. I went to sleep. I had £12. I have £12.23. So you make some money, bro. It's really good. It's really good. But yeah, it's something that we should all look into. And as you said, you came up, I don't think you mentioned in part one, we had a really good stat. Why did I say stat? We're talking about sports. A really good fact about young people not saving, actually.
Yeah.
And didn't mention
I actually
that.
Read somewhere, I think it was BBC or something, some time ago, that 53% of young adults from, I think, 22 years old until 29 don't save, don't have any savings. At all.
We don't care about the future. We're young.
That is scary.
We're young. We don't care about the future.
I mean, taking into account that like inflation is going up and the expectancy of like life expectancy in general is just going up so much. And
people outlive their pensions.
And basically the government, the state cannot give you an definite amount of money, and it's even if they cannot give you enough money. So if you don't start saving now for your later adult life, elderly life, really, you're kind of, I don't want to say screwed, but you kind of are.
Most people are, and it's quite sad. It's quite sad to see, because most people are. Most people get to a certain age and they don't have enough money to live off or to maintain. Some people have us accustomed to a certain lifestyle, and when they get to retire, obviously they want to maintain their certain lifestyle, but they can't.
And that's scary, because you're working your whole life, and then
you're trying to enjoy the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, and then you retire and you don't have much at all.
Yeah, that money is there. It's not going to last you for long.
Yeah.
And it's really scary. It's something that's not many people are aware of, because your job actually chooses your pension for you, most people. And you're not aware of how many fees they're actually taking from you and how much money they're actually taking from you. So when you get to a certain age, it's a bit too late. And you'll notice that you worked your whole life and now you don't have as much money.
Yeah.
What is that sound on my throat? You don't have as much money.
Yeah. I think it's quite important on that topic to... Although the job pension, so the pension that the job gives you, it's, I think, in my opinion, it's a good one, in the sense that the employer itself are putting money into it as well, which you wouldn't get if you were not on the pension scheme. It's also important for you to have an account or whatever it is, or an investment, a proper long-term investment on pension. So basically, no, actually, you don't have to invest on an actual pension scheme yourself, like a personal pension scheme, but have an investment that it's like long term, that it's for those years when you're retired.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's there's so many other options though, like Vanguard and Fidelity, that allow you to have more control in regards to the money that you want to have, you know, when you reach that retirement status. It's more transparent as well. You know, the pension schemes that are out there, people don't even realize the amount of fees that are being taken out of the money that they're working so hard to put aside, that they hope to get once they reach their retirement age. But all these pension schemes and insurance companies are taking a lot of fees, 3-4%, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a lot of money. And they're investing your money. That's how it works. So this pension scheme, you put your money aside and they invest your money just like the banks. They're investing your money in stuff that doesn't have as much return. It's a lot of risk. So companies such as Vanguard and Fidelity give you the option to not only be more transparent, but have more control of your money and what they're investing into, like low-cost index funds, which are, like you said, less risky and allow you to, you know, to have more safer returns. However, it's still risk involved on you losing the money that you've put into. There are other options that would allow you to safeguard or protect that bread that you want when you retire. So, you know, it allows you to prevent outliving your money. And the new option, I would like Carol to say, to drop the mic. Yeah, what I wanted to talk about is annuities.
Okay.
Yeah, something we discussed before. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to ask you, you're the guest, spotlight. So for people that don't know, what is exactly annuities?
Okay, there's a lot of different types of annuities. But technically, you're investing on an insurance contract.
Mm-hmm.
So normally, you would pay money now to then get money later on.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there's some annuities that it's already on your retirement age. So you're already like, you're paying and receiving some
mm-hmm.
already. But normally you'd pay. So for us, technically, for our age group, you'd pay now and then receive on your retirement for how many years?
Until you die, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can choose when it kicks on.
Yeah, well. And you can choose the time period as well, don't you? You mm-hmm. can choose when it kicks on and when it stops.
When it stops, yeah, as well. It's really good. It's kind of a safe net if you run out of money, because mm-hmm. most people, retirement age 65. Now it's about 67 for men, and then for women. It depends on when you
and
were born as well.
By the time we retire, it's going to be higher than that for
probably.
Sure.
Probably, it's retiring at like 72.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you outlive your pension, that's basically when you want your annuity to kick in, mm-hmm. which you can change at any time as well if okay. you wanted to kick in a bit earlier. Basically, you give a lump sum to the insurance company. They'll hold it for I don't know how many years. Obviously, they're going to be making money off your money, so that's how they guarantee your income.
They're
like the banks,
investing
your money. Mm-hmm. So when it kicks in, let's say it kicks in when you're 85 and you get a lump sum. You let's say you invest a lump sum of 100,000 for the sake of it, and then and at 85 years old, you start getting about 3K every month guaranteed. That's basically what an annuity is. It's guaranteed money until you die, instead of your pension. If you're compounding at a 7% mm-hmm. your whole life, but when you hit about 63, the market crashes and it goes down about 60%, you lose all your money.
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's unlucky, but it can happen.
It can happen. So everything that you've gained, it goes off, and then it takes years and years to even get to where you started. Not even all the gains is to where you started.
Yeah.
So that's why you shouldn't have all your money on, you know, the S&P 500 or the basket. So that's why annuities is something that you should have as part of your retirement plan, because it's kind of a safe net. So there's mm-hmm. always good annuities. There's bad annuities. There's always bad ones.
Yeah.
On the book I read, they said that variable annuities is something that you should avoid at all times, all costs. Don't do it. But there's obviously essentially two types of annuities, immediate or deferred. Immediate is for someone that's already
in
retirement age. And, you know, they're already at 65. They do a lump sum and the insurance company pays them every single month. And then there's deferred one. I don't know, you're 30, you're 25. And you say, by the time I'm 45, I want to get $2,500 per month. So you do a lump sum and you calculate how much you have to put in that for you to get that amount when you're 45. And that's a really good when and you obviously there's insurance companies that are better than others.
Yeah.
But historically speaking, insurance companies that do annuities and the market and everything, they always make a profit, insurance companies.
Yeah. They insurance.
Make billions.
Yeah.
Just from annuities
as well. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they are smart as well, and they normally have so many different types of insurance contracts. So annuities is one of them. So they make so much money off it altogether. So technically, they basically do what we have been talking about, which is differentiating and diversifying all your investments and having different types of investment, really. So
basically, you make a lot of money. When you have your money in a bank account, they're gambling, they're investing your money, but they're not giving you any returns or little to no return. Investing, you're basically claiming a way bigger part of the returns, or you're participating in the whole thing. When you're putting your money on the S&P 500, you participate on the gains. And talking about that, there is one type of annuity that participates on the gains. Did you want to talk about it?
Which is the fixed...
The fixed indexed annuity.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that one is basically you invest on it and you take part on the... So imagine you invest on that annuity and the market goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're getting a percentage of that. You don't get the whole...
There's always a catch.
There's a catch. Yeah, there's a cap there as well. Like, you imagine the market goes up, I don't know, 10% or whatever.
Yeah.
There might be a cap of, I don't know, 5%. Yeah, so you only gain that reward, like the 5%. Mm-hmm. But then if the market goes down, you actually don't lose any money on that.
So basically you're participating on the upside but not the downside. So you're always making money.
Yeah.
There's always a catch. They limit it to a certain percentage and they take some fees, which are very low usually most of the time, depending on the annuity. That's why you always have to look into the annuity. So let's say the market is up 15%. They give you about 7%. You participate in the gains about 7% and they take for themselves about 1.5%. So you're still on a 5.5% of whatever you lump sum you've put in that year. Yeah,
that is good.
And then next year, the same, you participate. But let's say in 3 years' time, the market is 40% down. You don't lose any money.
So even the money that you already gained,
that's your new base. The money that you've gained, that's your new base.
Yeah.
That keeps compounding and compounding and compounding and compounding. So you're basically participating on the gains and not losing anything. And that's a type of annuity that you guys can check out. All facts. All we say in here is facts, all right? there's a catch for everything. Obviously, you're thinking, I put a lump sum. What if I die before? Or what if they start paying me at 85, but I die at 87? Yes, they do keep the money.
Yeah, that's the problem there. They cannot give the money to your family.
I think there are a few where they give a percentage to the family or lump sum, depending. You have to do your own research there. On the book, I did see there's a few that they give a percentage to. But it's something that, you know, it's safe and it's something that you can have until you die.
Yeah.
You put a lump sum in. It's better than a pension.
Yeah, but then again, that is a bit of a drawback when compared to a pension, because I know that in a pension you can put a person that you would want the money to leave the money to if something was to happen to you, if you were to die.
Yeah.
Whereas in annuities, if you're not able to do that, or if you're able to do it but only for a certain amount, then that is a bit of a drawback compared to pensions.
Because they give you that security. No matter what happens, we're not going to put that money in your bank account.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. What happens, you're going to put that money and you can keep your cost of living, which is something that you should have on your retirement plan and doing your proper research. This podcast, whatever you see on social media, is not enough. You should do your research.
Definitely.
Annuities, index funds, everything that we've talked about, do your own research. We're just trying to plant the seed. It's not like we're real life pros like Ray Dalio and all this.
We are learning.
We're just sharing what we've learned with you guys and trying to maybe inspire some of you on making money work for you instead of just you working for money. And as we said, I think we said it in part one, there's always a way of saving money. Just have a look at your expenses and try to find that gap. There's probably something there that you can always live without.
Yeah.
And
I feel like if you start paying attention where you spend money, you realize that you spend so much money on stuff that you actually don't need to.
Exactly.
So
I make guilt of that sometimes.
Of course. That's fine.
You know what's my thing? Takeaways.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, nice.
Takeaway here, takeaway there, takeaway here. Then after the month ends and I look at my bank account, I'm like, wait, where did I spend all that money?
on food.
Then I see my bank statement, $5.99. $12.99, $13. Then the amounts are like £200. I'm like, what?
It seems very cheap when you first buy it.
But you
then
do
when
it
you,
so often.
Yeah.
That can be done with clothes as well.
As well. Exactly. It's so easy to just overspend.
Fast fashion, like clothes is so cheap right now.
I know.
You spend about £5
there. And they make it so, like, every fashion is so fast. They make it on purpose. So you keep on like spending. All the trends come and go so quickly. It's always rotating. Mm-hmm. And it's it's a way of making you spend more and more and more. Yeah,
exactly. But, so, you know, I hope these two parts, if you watch part one and you watch part two, I hope it helped you learn something that we've learned. So, as I said, we're still learning. Yeah. I hope it helped you understand a little bit more about finances and financial freedom and managing your money. Because it's something that we do not learn in school and we should. Stuff like money management, taxes, credit score, all of that. That's a topic for another episode. Do you want to shout out anyone this time around?
No.
Still don't want to shout out anyone?
Still don't.
That's fine. Shout out my guy, Carlos. I always have people to shout out. Shout out my guy, Carlos. He's not here today, but he will be here very soon. He couldn't be here today, my boy. Thank you guys for watching, for listening. Like, comment, share. You know the drill. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, I keep forgetting these names, but all these platforms, you know, just show your support, like, share with your friends. And I see you guys next week. Before I go, I'd like to thank you.
Thank you for being
our very special guest. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. It was a nice experience.
Very much appreciated. Did you like it?
Yes, I enjoyed it. It was great.
That's what we want. Thank you very much for coming. And peace.